Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Guys, this is episode 46, and we are over 14,000 downloads right now. So, hoorah, that's exciting for us. I don't know if we had expectations, but it's cool to see it grow. And we just, you know, we do this out of the kindness of our heart. We don't charge for it. We're just giving good information. And actually, we got a great comment on our hotline that I wanted to play for you guys. So I'm going to do that right now.
Hey, Jonathan. Hey, Jeff. My name is Brooke, and I'm from New Jersey. And I don't have a specific question right now. I've just finished episode 13. I just found you guys, and I cannot believe what you guys are offering and how much free knowledge you're giving away and how insightful it is. There's nothing that I've come across in podcast land like this. It's phenomenal. I can't wait to chew through the next episodes up to episode 43 you're on. Looks like you come out every Monday, and it's just a great, great platform. You know, it's just, I can't say enough about it. Keep up the great work. I'm sure when I get through this, I have questions, I will be calling you guys back to have things answered. But phenomenal job. Keep up the great work. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. That's Brooke from New Jersey. And I want to give him a shout out. Thanks so much for your comment. It really means a lot to us because feedback is like our only reward at this point, right, Jeff?
Yes.
I mean, we don't charge anything. What do you think about his comment?
Well, first, thank you. It's always nice to hear that we're giving some information that can be useful. We want that kind of feedback. So if there's stuff that we're not covering or you have questions about, that's why we set up that hotline. So we can kind of cater this to what works for people. And this is what we get out of it, is that I know why we wanted to do this. This was partially to help you. But for me, I want to have an impact on people in terms of their financial lives, their well-being. That's kind of part of my why, is I want to be able to help people, you know, get to where they want to be. So if we're doing that, we want to know about it.
Absolutely. And for me, I just want to touch on one thing he mentioned, that there's not another podcast like this out there in podcast land, is what he said. And really, this podcast is, I wanted to create this because this is what I was looking for on, you know, the topic of creative financing. I was looking for a podcast specifically dedicated to creative financing. And Jeff, I was just, you know, fortunate to meet you, and you're full of knowledge on that subject. And so I just wanted to document this and really my journey in learning creative financing. So once again, thanks, Brooke. We greatly appreciate it. And please, you know, call us back and let us know if you got any questions or if there's a deal you're working on. We'd love to hear it and get your voicemail on the show again. All right, what are we talking about today, Jeff?
So I thought, based on some of the feedback that we do get, whether it's in person, hotline, whatever, that I wanted to try to make clear, and that's where I think that this continues to go, is that we look at deals, we analyze deals, you get an idea of what the thought process is, you start looking at them a little bit differently in terms of how to structure them and in terms of exit strategies. So I came up with this, and we're going to break it down in a lot of different ways, and we're going to look at it in a number of... So it could fit if you're a rehabber, it could fit if you're a buy and hold, it could fit if you're a wholesaler. And I'm hoping that it'll start to bring things all together as far as numbers and how they all work together.
Okay, so this is a deal example, correct? Right? And is this a deal that you've done, or was it something that you come up with? Give us the context
So it's not after a particular deal, but it's similar to some deals that you will come across.
So it's a great example.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So let's set the stage. We're looking at a house that, let's say, the ARV is $340,000.
Okay.
It needs about $30,000 in repairs.
Okay.
It would rent for $1,750 a month. They're asking $265,000, so they're willing to take a discount. They owe $90,000 on the underlying mortgage. Their payment is $710, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
That's pretty low.
They have a 3.5% interest rate.
Okay.
Their taxes run $1,800 per year, and their insurance is about $60 a month.
Okay.
So the reason that I gave you all of that information is it's all relevant in terms of what we're trying to figure out here.
Okay.
So the first thing I want to ask you, Jonathan, is let's start with the simplest option. Okay, and the option would be is, what would we offer cash?
You said 340.
340 ARV.
Yep.
Repairs are 30.
Cash, 242. Yeah.
Right, so that would be what I call the MAO, maximum allowable offer. That's typically, as a wholesaler, what we would sell to a rehabber.
I wanted to clarify that. That's what I would buy it if I was going to renovate it and resell it. So. Okay. If I was going to wholesale it, I'd want to be about $20,000 less than
so that. So around 220, 225, 227, somewhere in that range, right?
So there's a little room to negotiate it up a little bit, and I could still get a great wholesale fee.
So even at your Mayo, which was 242, you're still $23,000 apart.
Right.
Okay. You could potentially negotiate that. Or at least get close.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a wholesaler, you're even further apart. And you may or may not be able to close that gap. Is this something that you come across quite a bit? That, they realize that the house needs some work. They're willing to discount, but just not enough to make it feasible for a rehab or feasible to wholesale.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you probably come across a lot more of these deals than the traditional motivated seller need to get rid of this thing at all costs.
Right. And actually what we typically come across is if it was actually worth 340 and it needed 30, they're probably asking more like 295, 300.
Yeah.
But they think, "Hey, if you go put in 30, 40 grand, it's worth 340.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Okay. So we've talked about the second option quite a bit throughout our podcast, and that would be like a short-term owner finance kind of deal, right? So give me an idea of what you might offer. And when I say short-term owner finance, it would be catered toward rehabbing the property without having to go get a hard money loan. So
right. I think I'd be probably in the 250 range without having to get hard money on it.
Okay. So let's explain this for a second. Okay. So if you were, let's say our cash offer as a wholesaler would be, well, let's say that we're a rehabber. Okay. So we're buying at Mayo, 242. So if we had to go get hard money costs, and let's say that we had a hard money lender that is willing to lend us 100%, which may or may not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So what are typical hard money rates right now?
So 2 points, and that's usually paid up front, or they minus the 2 points from the purchase price, and you got to bring in the remaining in 12% interest. So it's about a point a month.
Now, that might vary across the country to some degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of you may have better rates, some of you may not have. But in our area, that's pretty typical.
Yeah.
So 2 points would 2 points means 2%,
right,
of the purchase price.
Of the purchase price.
So that would be $48.40, I believe, which is almost $5,000 in costs right there, right?
Yeah.
And then at 12%, what we do, 12% is really easy to figure out. It's 1% a month.
Right.
So you have another $2,420 a month payment.
Yeah.
So how long do you think this would take to rehab? Like best case scenario.
$30,000. You could probably get it done in a month if you're
And then put it on the market and hopefully find a buyer real quick and then close. So 3 months would probably be like the soonest, right?
Right.
What's more realistic?
4 to 6.
Okay. So I took 3 and 5.
Okay.
So you're looking at $12,000, a little more than $12,000, to almost $17,000 in hard money costs. So if we can cut those costs out, whether it be for us or for someone else, that's a pretty significant savings.
Absolutely.
So what do you think you could then come in, and let's say that you're... And you could be either one, the rehabber or the wholesaler. But if you were offering, you know, let's say $225 as a wholesaler or $242 as a rehabber, what could you then come in on a short-term owner financing offer if you could cut out all these costs?
Probably, you can probably come up $13,000, $14,000.
You probably could, but you know, let's make it worth our while a little bit. So... let's say that we'll come up 10 grand.
Okay.
Okay. So on either offer, right? So we're bridging that gap quite a bit. If we can just get the owner to wait, how long? 6 months?
6 months, yeah.
Yeah, let's make sure that we give ourselves enough time.
Yeah, minimum.
But, you know, 6-7 months, we'll give them, how much would you want to give them up front to?
Well, I'd want to give them the least amount I can.
Sure.
So I'd ask them what they want. But you know, 20 to 40,000 is probably what I would want to get it for.
Well, and wouldn't it make sense? I mean, for you, for most investors, they have cash on hand.
Yeah.
But it may not be, you know, 300,000 cash on hand.
Right.
But if they had 30,000, let's say $60,000. I mean, a lot of them have access to $60,000-$70,000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they could come with a down payment of $20,000-$30,000.
And still rehab it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal.
Right.
So so what I figured is around 10%, so $20,000 to $25,000 down. But if we had to offer a little more, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
All right, so how would we want to structure some of the terms? So remember, they have an underlying payment of $710 a month. That's everything, taxes and insurance. For the next, let's say, 6 months, what would we do?
So we would structure, we can give them money on top of that payment. So we're going to take that payment and give them more money. So without running numbers, well, if we can, I'd like to defer any more payments until we pay it off.
Which would probably be difficult because they're going to be making that payment.
Yeah. But at least you would have to at least cover that payment.
Yeah.
Right?
So one of the offers could be, hey, we'll make your underlying payment for the next 6 months and we'll pay you a balloon, which would be basically your offer price minus the down payment. Yeah, we're not going to worry about principal pay down for 6 months.
Yeah. So 10% down, 6 months financing, and let them know that we're going to make their underlying payment and we're going to offer them 252. Is that kind of what we're at?
Yeah, something like that. 250, 252. So now all of a sudden we've bridged that gap. So they're at 265, you're at 250, 252.
Yeah, we're a lot closer.
Yeah. So now all it is can you wait for your money for 6 months, right?
Yeah.
And if they had something that they needed to do with some of that equity, so they said, well, I could, but I need $40,000, that probably still works. It's probably not a big deal.
Yep.
Okay. One of the other things we could do is, so we could offer them $252,000 and we could just say, we're going to pay you $1,000 a month, principal only. So, do you think a rehabber, would you be unhappy if you had to pay $1,000 a month, but you know it's all going toward principal?
No, okay? No, I would not.
So they're actually covering their payment and they've got a little cash flow coming in. Really, what this option is about is making them feel secure.
Right.
If they feel secure and they don't necessarily need all their money right now, this is a simple option to get accepted.
Yeah.
Okay. Could we just do like interest only? Just like a hard money loan at like 5%. I think the payment would be about $895. You won't get any principal pay down, but it's still a...
Putting money in their pocket.
Yeah, it's still a smaller amount than you would be paying hard money. And maybe you could even defer it if that's what you wanted to do. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's the reason that I say this is that there's a number of different ways that you could structure this.
Because there's a lot of room there
between
what their monthly payment is and actually the equity spread they have.
Right. So... I mean, could you even offer them, how about 4% amortized over 30 years with a balloon in 6, 7, 8 months? The principal and interest payment would be just over $1,000.
Yeah.
So you can do all kinds of things depending on, what the underlying mortgage situation is. If this was free and clear, you could even do more.
Right.
But since they have a bunch of equity, their payment's quite low, we've got to structure around that, so it's got to make sense. And one of the things that I've seen with some feedback that I've gotten is that you can't just make payments whatever you want. They've got to coincide with
the underlying debt
and... If you're amortizing, the payment is figured out for you.
Yeah.
So,
based on an interest rate and term.
Right. Yeah. You can play around with how long of a term you would like. You can do standard 30 years. You could do 15. You could do 20, 25. You can do whatever you want. But ultimately, you've got to make sure that you take into account the underlying financing.
Right.
Okay? So... But we could come up with 3, 4, 5 different situations that would all work here.
Yeah.
So how do you know which one to do?
Well, I was going to ask you that question. How do you narrow it down? So in my head, I would think I would want to create some offers. I mean, something that works for me or works for my buyer, but, an offer that's higher than what our cash price was, so our 142. So I'd want something higher than that. And then if I'm still trying to bridge the gap, I would want to make that up maybe in monthly payments to them on top of their underlying financing.
Okay. So here's the answer to how do you know what to do. So the goal is if you're having conversations with the seller about this. So let's say that you go on an appointment, you meet with the seller and say, look, Mr. Seller, I understand that you want 265. What I've done is I can come up with some different options for you. So here's my cash offer. I know that it's quite a bit lower than what you're expecting. I anticipate that's not going to work for you. Here's another one that, hey, it's almost like cash. You'll get some money up front. You'll get some money every month, or your payment will be covered every month, and then you'll get the balance here, and this is how you're secured.
Yeah.
Or any other kind of options. But the more that you're able to uncover, the more that you're able to tailor this deal
to their needs.
To the seller, correct. Yeah. Now, if you've just talked to the seller once and now you've created offers, like something like we do, I don't usually have that information.
Right.
The goal is to put something out there and then try to get that feedback.
Yeah.
So that we can either put something out there and get it accepted, or we get that feedback back so we can potentially negotiate and modify.
So what you're saying is you need to gather more information, and whether you do that up front or whether you put some offers together, send that to them, and then get some feedback, you need to find out what they're after.
Yeah. So one of the ways that you could do this is, so, and it's funny, you know, I hear this a lot, and I see this on a lot of forums, and it's absolutely just not true. I see that owner financing, terms, creative financing, I see people say, yeah, the market's too good. No one is going to accept those kinds of offers. I can't tell you that is the furthest from the truth, and I can prove it. Here's how I'll prove it. If that were the case, why would people be taking lowball cash offers as a wholesaler?
Yeah.
I mean, why would they do that? If the market's so good, there's no need to.
Yeah, very true.
So we're not even making lowball offers. We're making much higher offers. So it works in any type of market.
Yeah.
So that part's totally out the door.
False, right? Yeah.
Totally ridiculous. Okay. But it is how you phrase it. So if you just say, so will you take some owner financing? I mean,
they're going to say no.
Most likely they are. Mostly because
the confused mind it would be always
like,
says no.
It would be like if I'm a wholesaler and I'm like, so I'm a wholesaler, I'd like to buy your property at a severe discount. Are you willing to severely discount your property?
No.
As soon as you said wholesaler, it's like, what? Who? How?
What's that?
So you've got to learn how to talk to a seller and, one, ask these questions. And we've discussed this a number of times. What we like to do is say, are you open to taking payments for your equity? And a lot of times they're like, well, I don't know what that means. And you don't want to educate, okay? Stop trying to educate. The more you know is not better in this case. So yeah. If you don't really know and you couldn't explain it, that's probably even better. It's like, look, I'm not really sure yet. We'll pay you some money up front, pay monthly payments, and pay you the balance of your equity some point in the future, and you won't have any headaches. You won't have to deal with any tenants, maintenance, repairs, nothing.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah. So if you made that clear, now you could say, all right, so you've mentioned, Mr. Seller, that you're open to taking payments for your equity. How much money do you need down?
Yep.
And keep in mind, it's just for a short period of time. If I could just cover your monthly payment, does that get you by? Now I've got the information that I really need. The 6 months, 8 months, is that a short enough term for you? Does that work? That's if I'm having these conversations up front before putting together these offers.
Right.
So people ask, how do you get a no money down deal? Well, you find out, do they actually need money up front? If they don't, then you can get a no money down deal.
Yeah.
If I just start making no money down deals, most of them are going to say no.
Right.
So that's the goal, right? Is to get, have a conversation, gather the information, then put together something that helps potentially solve whatever issue or problems the seller has.
Absolutely. That's a great answer.
All right. So why don't we go through one more example? And this one's got a number of different ideas to it.
Okay.
Then we'll stop it. We'll go. We'll continue this episode because we can take this even a step further.
Okay, so are we using the same
deal? Yeah, same deal? Thing, same thing.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we look at this a little differently? So right now we've looked at it from a rehab perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's look at it as any rehabber any wholesaler is not going to offer 265 if they've run their numbers correctly, correct? There's just not going to be enough room to make that happen. Even if you did all your own work and you had all your own money, I mean, it would be super tight.
Right.
Okay? So let's look at it from a different perspective. How about we offer the seller 271? More than what they're asking on a house that they're probably not, you know, the only chance that they have of selling this house for the price is if, you know, an owner occupant or a landlord is looking at this property and see the potential to it. So let's say we offer 271.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do is look at it. Remember, I told you that the rents were $1,750 a month.
Yeah.
Okay. That's important to look at with every deal.
Yeah.
Because this will only work if the rents make sense compared to not necessarily the price.
The cash out of pocket. Yeah.
But yeah, with the cash flow and yes, the, you know, the cash that would need to come out of pocket.
Because if you can make a cash on cash return, then it becomes a deal.
That's right. So let's break some things out. So we know that if this is going to be any kind of rental, any kind of selling to an owner occupant on terms, that we better need to know the taxes. We need to know the insurance. We probably need to know what the water, sewer, garbage runs, that kind of stuff, because those are fixed expenses typically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we know the taxes are about $150 a month. We know insurance is about $60. Let's say water, sewer, garbage. We don't maybe know this up front, but $75 a month, somewhere in there. Okay? So if we offer the seller $271 and let's say that we'll give the seller, you know, around 5% down, so $14,000. Okay. Let's say that we're going to pay the seller $1,000 a month, principal and interest. Okay. Actually, I'm sorry, principal. Just principal only payments. Okay. $1,000. So the seller's going to also get $150 a month for taxes. They're not really going to get $60 a month because I handle insurance a little differently. But so let's say they're going to get $1,150 a month. So they're making, you know, a $440 a month cash flow.
Yeah.
Not bad, right?
Right.
Okay, so if we now add all of these up. So if I'm selling this to you, Jonathan, and this is going to be something that you're going to hold. So if you had a $1,000 a month payment,
mm-hmm.
let's say $150 for taxes, $60 for insurance, and $75 for water, sewer, garbage, maybe you pass that on to your
tenant.
But mm-hmm. So let's just call it $1,210, okay?
Okay.
So it's $1,210 to $1,285 in that range.
Yeah. Okay?
What can we get in rents?
$1,750.
Okay. Would that make sense? I mean, that's like a $500 a month cash flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Even worst case scenario, it's like $465.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, you know, not bad.
Right.
Right? Especially if you're putting down $14,000.
Yeah.
Now, wait, let's think about this for a sec. This house needs $30,000 in repairs. Do you think that we can get by without putting that much money into it to make it more rent ready rather than retail ready?
Yes, probably around 10.
10 to 15?
Yeah, unless there's major stuff. I mean, that's literally carpet, paint.
Normally on this kind of house that needs like $30,000 in work that's worth $340, mostly it's probably going to be cosmetic.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's, you know,
something
big. Some kind of furnace, HVAC issue, roof. Right.
Yeah.
So all right, so let's look at what
465.
So the cash flow to a new buyer or to yourself would be pretty good,
mm-hmm.
right? So And then let's look at what would happen in, let's say, 3 years, okay? Is a three-year term a real long time for someone to accept terms?
No.
No. And what I've found, even in this market, people are willing to wait 3 years if they can, one, get a good price for their property, or they can make money on their equity, right?
Okay.
In this case, we're offering principal-only payments. That's why we've raised the price.
Yeah.
What do you think people, sellers, are most sensitive about, at least on the surface? Price, right?
I was going to say interest rate.
No, there's never interest rate. I'm telling you that right now. Almost
okay.
Never.
Okay.
But price.
Yeah. They're true.
At least on the surface. Okay. Sometimes when you dig, it's not always about the price, but on the surface it is. So, hey, if I'm asking $265 and I'm coming in, and could I come in even higher? I could probably come in at $275, $278 and still make this just a fine deal. Okay. So at the end of 3 years, if I put $14,000 down, I owe $257 principal balance to begin with, right? And then I'm going to pay $1,000 for the next 36 months. So my payoff's going to be $221 at the end of the whole thing, yeah. Right? That's $221. The property's worth $340 as is. Well, not as is, but
yeah.
After repaired value, yeah. Right now,
about
not 3 years
equity.
From now.
Yeah,
that's quite a bit of equity, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really good.
So, do you think that we could go wholesale this instead not to a rehabber, but to a buy and hold investor, and we said, hey, we'll offer this to you with $30,000 down.
Uh-huh.
That's less than 10%.
Right.
They were buying this conventionally. They'd have to go put down a minimum of 20.
Right.
So they're getting in for 30.
Yeah.
But I'm also making sure that they know that they're going to have to put in like 15 grand in work.
Yeah.
Okay. So 45,000 out of pocket, right?
All in.
Their cash flow, and I called it $540, so I was passing on the water, sewer, garbage to my tenant.
Okay.
Okay. Times 12.
Yeah. So at the 465, I got 5,580. If you didn't pass that on, so.
Okay. So this would be 540. Yeah. So 1210, based on the 1210 out of pocket expense, taxes, insurance, principal payment. You have a $540 a month cash flow, okay?
Okay.
Times 12, that's $6,480 for the year.
Yep.
Divided by $45,000. That's the out-of-pocket expense.
That's a 14% return.
Correct. 14.4%, I believe, right?
Yes.
Return on
yes,
investment.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that's a cash-on-cash return.
Which is not bad at all.
Right.
But how great is this? One, they came with 10% down, not even.
Right.
Right?
Less than 10% down.
Even with the repairs, they're into it for less than what they would be conventionally.
Right.
Second, they have this massive pay down over the next 3 years. So.
And immediate equity right when they get into it.
This is a killer deal, and you make 16 grand pretty quickly and easily.
In a wholesale fee.
On a deal that, you know, most wholesalers and rehabbers are passing on.
Yeah.
Okay? What if we just wanted to keep it? Hey, I'm always looking for buy and hold investments. Maybe I can, you know, use this for my own portfolio.
Then it would be even better cash on cash return
because
we're not paying that wholesale fee.
We're getting rid of that 16 grand, so now the return on investment is 22%.
Not bad.
Not bad, right?
Not bad.
And now you get the principal pay down that's super good.
And the equity.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if the seller balked at this, could we just raise the price a bit?
We could.
$5,000, $8,000.
Yeah.
I mean, could we go up to like $280 if we had to?
Yeah.
All day long.
I don't see how they're going to balk at it, though, because it's already above their asking price. I mean, well, I guess if holding it long term.
Because there's no interest. So, let me ask you a question. So if they came back to you and they said, Jonathan, well, there's no interest here. I've got to have interest. What would be your response?
We can do that.
Okay. Which you certainly could say. My response would be is, why do you want interest?
Okay.
Right now, if I pay you interest, you got to pay taxes on the interest that I pay you. Why don't I just raise the price and not worry about interest for you?
See, I didn't even think of that. That's great right there. That's great advice.
Now, what's really the difference? And I'm happy to, if I have to raise the price by $3,000, $5,000, I'm good with that.
Right.
No interest loan.
Yeah.
Those are good. If you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
You want those.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great example, Jeff. That's a great example.
So let's go through one more. Why don't we cut it off here?
Yeah.
And then I'll pick it up in the next episode because I've got some more kind of cool things that we can do with
Perfect.
This example.
Let's do it. All right, guys. Well, that's it for today on this episode. This is going to be part one. So we're going to make this a part two, and we're going to use the same deal. And this is just a great example to practice on. So hopefully you guys are running through the numbers with us. If you're not, I would highly recommend doing so that it just makes more sense to you and you're getting practice, because that's what this is all about. So, guys, you can reach us at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com, or we have a hotline if you want to leave a comment or if you're working on a deal. Please, please, please give us a call, because we would love this to be a show where we answer your guys' questions or you guys present a deal and we go over that, just like Lance from San Antonio.
And I'm certainly looking to work with people all over the country, not single family houses. I'm happy to help you structure that on your own, but I'm looking more multifamily, even bigger, multifamily mobile home park type stuff.
Yeah. And FYI, guys, everyone that's called in, Jeff has returned their phone call personally. So it's free coaching. It doesn't get any better than that. So our hotline is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. Any last words, Jeff?
Nope. Looking forward to part two.
Awesome. Until next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.